Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Friday, Food Friday, that is, the 13th of February. Today, we welcome back our friend, Chef Rick Orlando. He is an entrepreneur, a writer, a leader of culinary tours of Italy. He's also president of the Good Neighbor Food Pantry in Woodstock, New York. Now, Rick has a topic in mind for today. I gather it's Valentine's Day related. I'm not 100% sure. When you reach the eminence of Chef Rick Orlando, you set the agenda, and I'm just here to make sure it goes okay. The number is 800-348-2551. If you want to ask a cooking or food question of Chef Rick, 800-348-2551, or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Rick Orlando, and your calls coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. On this edition of Food Friday, we welcome back our friend, Chef Rick Orlando, who is more or less the OG of chefs in the region. Rick is the owner of the Richter Scale brand of hot sauce, barbecue sauce, and custom spice rubs. He's a chef instructor for area not-for-profits, also president of the Good Neighbor Food Pantry in Woodstock, New York. Rick also hosts small groups on immersive food, farm, wine, and culture tours in Italy, don't you know? The number here is 800-348-2551. I don't know exactly what the topic is, but you can ask anything you want. He knows a lot. 800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Rick Orlando, how you doing, man?
Ray, I'm doing great. I'm busy, 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 but I'm having lots of fun being busy.
Are you ever not busy?
And I thought today we were going to talk about Valentine's Day recipes, Valentine's Day dinners, and also Valentine's Day disasters.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, that's great. Okay.
Just in case anybody has any great stories they can tell about their Valentine's Day dinner. I mean, I have a legendary restaurant, New World Home Cooking, that had a unique kind of Valentine's Day, but you know what you do on Valentine's Day, what you prefer to do, what you eat, and I have some suggestions on how to stay light on your feet, shall we say, throughout the idea of a big meal.
You know, over the years, I've found that my wife really likes the Arby's dinner on Valentine's Day.
Sure, that ought to do well, and you know,
she likes that a lot. The number here is 800-348-2551. You're always busy, so what are you busy with?
Well, I mean, the food pantry is very busy. The Good Neighbor Food Pantry in Woodstock. I've been working, been the president for over a year now. My wife is the treasurer because our treasurer became ill. And that's a big job.
Treasurer?
It's an unpaid job.
Yeah.
Both. I mean, and we're doing between 300 and 500 packages of food a week out the door in a town of 5,000 people.
Yeah.
We draw from everywhere. One of the things that I do is help raise awareness of how much you can make to be eligible, and we're getting more musicians and artists to come to the food pantry because we have lots of food. I also took on a very intense consulting position. I'm not going to tell you exactly where, but some people approached me who are physically building a building to make a big social restaurant.
Ah, cool. Now, what do you mean a social restaurant?
Well, they want it to be a restaurant, but also a place you can hang out. They want to have a kickball team. They want to have a bocce court. They want to
have a bocce court?
Well, the whole vibe. Wow. Maybe inside or outside.
Okay.
But I've been hired as the chef consultant to develop the menu, work with the equipment, develop the planning, and I learned a lot of great stuff.
You know,
the manuals, the human resources, you know, the works.
That's boring stuff, man.
Oh, you know what's cool? So check this out. When New World Home Cooking and New World Bistro Bar were together, we actually won an award for our training materials. We were from Sante Magazine because having a wife as a lawyer and me as a restaurant brain, we made amazing training materials. And I wanted to use them because, you know, it's part of my obligation is to provide all the documentation. And I'm looking at them saying, geez, is it really out of date? What would happen if I took them and threw them into AI and said, can you make this contemporary? Can you update the wage and hour laws? And you know what? 4 days worth of work took me about 40 minutes.
You know what? Doesn't it feel like cheating when you use the AI?
No.
You're fine
because
with that.
I would have done the same thing. So, for instance, for the HR, right?
Right.
Current HR laws, wage and hour laws.
Yeah.
I would just be going to Google. Going to New York State Department of whatever, labor, sifting through their old 386 clunky websites to find the same data that it found like that.
Okay, but how do you know that it is correct?
Because
sometimes it hallucinates.
Because you check.
Okay, it's all good.
Anyway, it was fun.
That's cool.
It was fun. I also did something funny with our welcome package. I said, can you make this sound more contemporary for millennials in 2026? And it starts out like, hey, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it lightened it up, which is good because, you know, you need to be with the times. Anyway, I'm building a fun menu with the owners. We've got a great design. We'll be opening in the summer. So,
but we don't know where, or you know, can't even say the general region.
It's in the Hudson Valley.
Okay.
Area. It's south of here.
All right.
Just keep an eye on me, rickorlando.com, because I'll be posting about it as we go forward when we make the official announcement. We kind of are on the verge of making an official announcement, but we're ready.
Now, you know, you've developed some legendary menus. Your old joint has a famous menu. Do you have to recreate the wheel every time?
You have to stay up with the times. It's like being in a band, right? So your favorite band, when you go see your favorite band, you want to hear the songs
hits.
You know.
Yeah.
But if they release a new record, you want to hear the songs they just wrote. So it's a combination.
Most people
of both.
Go to the restroom when the new songs come on.
If they don't have the record,
that,
right. Well, especially if the band is 60 years old, like the Stones, but more modern bands. So, no, I need to do both. And I need to continue to grow. And what's great about this for me is I've done a bunch of consulting for other people, and it's been very helpful. But those are restaurants that are already established that are looking for some answers. This is a restaurant that doesn't exist. They're looking for building or out a restaurant. So I'm able to really sink my teeth into my own ideas as opposed to taking someone else's ideas and trying to funnel them into a way that would be more efficient for them, you know?
Chef Rick Orlando's our guest here, and eventually we'll talk about Valentine's Day disasters and good things. 800-348-2551. And the email is voxpop@wamc.org. But when you develop this restaurant, you're not involved with the architecture or the floor plan or anything, are you?
Well, I'm involved with the floor planning. The building is going to be built.
Right.
But then where things go, everything's sketched out, but that always changes. When we did New World Bistro Bar, they had a drawing, but, you know, 2 weeks before we opened, they said, no, we need faster walking lanes here. We need to put a wait station here. We need to move the tables this way so they're not in the sunlight. So I'll be involved with all of that and where the equipment goes in the kitchen and the whole thing.
Now, what's your philosophy on open kitchens? I had somebody on, and I don't know who it was recently, and we talked about open kitchens. And I think maybe it was Josh Coletto or somebody. And you know, don't you feel like people watching you and you have to be performative while you're cooking if you have an open kitchen?
What's my name?
Rick Orlando.
There you go.
So you do it. You like it.
I like it. But I have to say, one of the things we're working on with this restaurant, and I actually have, if you go to my Substack, I have an article at SubstackRickOrlando.com. How does your restaurant sound? Open kitchens often help create a cacophony in restaurants. Restaurants are really loud. We baby boomers and older Gen Xers, we're really deaf. We grew up in front of PA columns.
Yes,
we grew up, you know, listening, you know, to shows really loud.
Yep.
And so that's an important part of my design is to make sure that, so we do not have an open kitchen at this restaurant.
Okay. No. So, you know, it does help. You're right about the being deaf because if it's too quiet, I just get up. High-pitched whistle in my ears all day long.
Yeah, I usually sit at the end of the table so I can lip read.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. Rick Orlando, we're all over the map here, but this is cool. Great to have you here. 800-348-2551. So I don't know if my producer got back to you on this whole concept for the show. What are we doing today?
Well, I thought since tomorrow's Valentine's Day, we would talk about Valentine's Day. So I have some philosophies on this because Valentine's Day is probably after Mother's Day, the second busiest day in the restaurant business.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And chefs go all out and, you know, they make lots of multi-layered desserts and filet mignon with béarnaise and all the things that people want, which is fun. But there's an old saying, take care of business first if you're going to go have a big dinner.
What do you mean?
Well, we're talking about, you know, your partner, your love, your fun.
Oh, I see.
I didn't want to say that word.
Ah.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Take care of business
first. I didn't
know
you were going there. Well, good for you.
Well, because if you have a big, heavy meal with a giant chocolate dessert, it's not always, You don't want to dance after.
Right.
You want to create a meal that makes you want to dance. I just did a cooking class at Capital Cooks on Tuesday night called Love Bites.
Uh-huh.
And it was little things that we made at New World Home Cooking on our Valentine's menu. Now, we never did this in Albany because my partners and we couldn't agree on whether it was appropriate or not. But in Saugerties, for 20 years, we had a special plate on our Valentine's menu that we called Safe Sex.
All right.
Because it was like sex, but it wasn't sex. It was eight pairs of really punchy little bites. It could be something as simple as a gorgonzola stuffed olive, a little chili dipped in white chocolate, some mango wrapped with basil, you know, but they were just assertive, explosive little bites.
Yeah.
And we'd serve that plate with a blindfold. And you blindfolded your partner. Listen, we did this publicly for 20 years.
Did you have to leave $25 on the dresser at the end of the meal?
We would just buy black cloth and shred it up.
All right, fine.
But we actually talked about it on the show many years ago.
Okay.
And you would take turns feeding your partner in whatever sequence of these bites, the sweet, the salty, the sour, the vinegary, right, the spicy. And people would giggle, and they still talk about it. And if anybody wants to call in and talk about it, people still say, I remember that Valentine's dinner you did?
Well, the number is 800-348-2551. And let me tell you something, Rick. My wife and I do the same thing at Arby's almost every Valentine's.
That's right. You have the roast beef, and you have the pastrami.
Yeah, oh, that's a beef and cheddar. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get to the phones and the emails. Rick Orlando is here, 800-348-2551, or voxpop at wamc.org. Here's the backing track to She's Leaving Home from the Beatles. And Rick said, well, that's not really that appropriate for Valentine's Day. But hey, you know what? I set the music up well in advance. The number here is 800-348-2551. Or you can email voxpop at wamc.org. Quick, go ahead.
Oh, before you take that, what do you do on Valentine's Day?
I don't know. I mean, we'll do something. I have a lot of daughters. And, you know,
okay.
I have to. I don't want any spoiler alerts in the million to one chance that one is listening.
Oh, sorry.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. No, good call. Good call.
So,
respect.
So here's the thing. In all your time of serving these beautiful Valentine's Day goodies, did you ever see in your restaurant a knockdown, drag out fight on Valentine's Day between a couple?
No. No, I've never seen a knockdown, drag out fight. No, I've seen a couple of meals that maybe.
A little uncomfortable.
A little terse at the end.
Yeah.
But no, people seem to. One of the things, and even with consulting on this new restaurant, one of the things that we pride ourselves in with my restaurants is our theme is very simple. We make people happy. So when you come to New World or whatever my new project is, my goal is to make you happy. So whatever makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know, you want to glug the champagne, you want to. Water and a leaf of lettuce, we're there for you.
You don't look askance at someone who might use the wrong glass? Or
no,
they could.
You know what? I looking askance is one thing. Now I know who you are, but then I know what to do with you, you know?
Rick Orlando is our guest. What'd you bring, man?
So I brought some sweet stuff because one of the things I find is really detrimental to dancing after dinner is a really heavy dessert. Especially desserts that use margarine or oleo or palm oil or any kind of emulsified hydrogenated fat, which a lot of frostings have, unless you're in a really good restaurant that's a butter scratch place.
Right.
But most commercial desserts have hydrogenated fat.
Okay.
And that's why you buy Tums. I mean, if it wasn't for the hydrogenated fat, you know, antacids wouldn't have.
So you're kidding me.
Oh, absolutely. Doesn't that stuff
Can make I have you on Medical Monday,
doesn't
too?
Doesn't that stuff have you kind of go, oof, oof? Anyway, the point is to make you feel light and pretty. So I brought three desserts. I have a pineapple brulee, which we may not be able to brulee here, but I'll put the recipe up later.
So a little backstory on this. I'm walking in. I was out taking the air before the show, and you were in the studio, and Rob Chacon, one of our head engineers here, said, I think he's got a blowtorch.
I saw him watching me.
Yeah, and he... You know,
and I was trying a Mission Impossible that thing under the table.
Chef Gail Sokol almost burned the place to the ground several years ago. So we take a little.
So I bought a little mousse made from avocado and mango, just
cool.
With a little bit of maple syrup and a touch of sour cream.
So just jiggle that. Okay, it's pretty firm.
It's
looks
set.
It looks very
it's like a
liquidy.
Pudding.
Yeah, that's
no,
nice.
The top of it is a blueberry and cardamom compote.
Oh, beautiful.
And then this is a really simple dessert, and these are all sweet and make you feel good. This is Greek yogurt sweetened with honey and cinnamon, just topped with the cherries, like Luxardo cherries, the ones from Italy,
love those,
and
man.
Their syrup. So these are the kind of things you can have after dinner that are not going to weigh you down. I often will have a nice meal, and then dessert is like, it's the turning point. It's delicious, but it's also like, oh my God.
Too much.
Too much. Suddenly you're at 3,000-4,000 calories, and so that's part of my philosophy.
You have energy to dance then, right?
Well, you better dance. I mean, my perfect dessert after a big meal is like one excellent truffle, you know, or just a spoonful of creme brulee, you know, just to shift the savory out of my palate.
Right.
But anyway, let's go to the people who have more to say than us.
You're in charge. Chef Rick Orlando is our guest. 800-348-2551. Before we do that, what are you going to do for your Valentine?
We're actually having dinner with a couple of friends who just came back from, they live part-time in Florida and part-time up here. And so they got back yesterday and they packed a bunch of amazing fish on ice from Florida.
And we're gonna cook this.
We're all going to cook together. We're
oh,
gonna
really?
Cook, yeah, and we've got a case of wine. And
are they chefs? Are they cooks?
They're very good cooks, and they're foodies, but they're not chefs.
All right, well, I mean, do you, in your heart of hearts, in that dark spot that you save for somewhat morose ruminations, do you say, look, I'm a professional. Everyone, get out of my kitchen.
Not really. I asked them if they would like me to kind of encourage feedback, but no, because everybody cooks the way they cook. Now, if they come into my kitchen for a job, it's different. I'm going to teach you how I want it done, and I want to see what you have to do. But now people cook the way they cook. And I know these guys, the two of them, are excellent cooks. He's British. Jackie's lived all over the world. They know good food.
Yeah.
Most importantly, and I've told a lot of people this, when you know how to eat, cooking comes a lot easier.
What do you mean, when you know how to eat?
When you know what the difference between good food and just junk food. Like some people, eat like whatever, ranch potato chips from some, and say, oh, these are banging. I'm like, they're not banging. It's all chemicals. But you can make that same flavor profile right. So, and they're scratch cookers, and they're really good.
All right, the number here is 800-348-2551. Had an idea before the show. Let me run it by you. You're famous for your black and green beans, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get your Valentine, you make some black and green beans. You get your Valentine a bouquet of the black and green beans and just hand them over. What do you think?
Should
we workshop that a little bit?
A little messy, but it could be fun.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I'd like that.
How long would they keep if you put them in water?
Well,
the number is 800-348-2551.
They better be eaten right away.
Let me tell you something, man. Joan from Schenectady is always thrilled when you're on. And
we love Joan.
She called at about 11:30 this morning, and she's been on hold. So let's just go to it. Joan, how you doing?
Hey, Joan.
Hello, Ray. Hello, Rick. And Ray, you're lying. I always wait till the local stories because then I know I'm timing it well.
All right.
Hey, I just want to tell both of you guys before I get going. You were talking about Valentine's Day and all that.
Yeah.
You, Ray.
What?
And you, Rick. You're my Valentine's Day present for myself.
Well, that's
nice,
that Joan. That's all
that's
I can
good.
Afford. That's good.
Well,
I'm glad.
You.
That's all. That'll satisfy you. So what's up?
Yeah, and there. Well, okay. Well, first of all, also thank you, Rick, for your food pantry. I also benefit from the kindness of others, and thank you. Just thank you.
Nice. Oh no, it's a really important work, and I've been in the food industry for 50 years, really 45, 50 years.
Wow, you're old. You
yeah,
don't
yeah.
look that old.
And I've been watching.
But you're only 30, right?
I watch so much food go in, as they say in the British shows, go in the bin in restaurants, that I realize we've got to figure out a way to like feed people.
That's
don't
great.
Have enough food.
Food waste is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
All right, Joan.
Yeah, you guys are great.
So what's
up? Right. So what I got is my question. And, Ray, this is a follow-up to the outdoor ice cream from a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, during the coldest part of the year. That was genius.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell you it came out pretty good, a little icy. But, I didn't know if you whipped it, it becomes twice its volume. I have a lot of ice cream.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, did you make it with the snow?
I think she did.
Yeah. You put it in the onion snow with that salt was the trick around on the outside.
Yeah.
And it froze all of the different milk ingredients I could find in my refrigerator put in it. And
wow.
Outstanding.
It was amazing.
Good for you.
It was fun.
Have you ever seen the stuff they do in Quebec where they cook the maple syrup till it's like almost a thick syrup, and then you pour it over a mound of ice cream, and when it hits the cold ice cream, it kind of turns into almost like taffy, and you tear off pieces and scoop it with the ice cream.
I have not seen that.
That's pretty cool.
They must have some.
That's a Martin Picard thing. Yeah.
How about that? Now, Joan, it says here you have a question about outdoor winter grilling.
Sure, I wanted to work off of the outdoor ice cream into outdoor winter grilling.
All right.
Okay.
I got my little grill, my little wood fire thing set up out back, and let's cook stuff that shows how much I love me.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes when the temperature gets really, really cold outside, you have to close the grill for a while to get the heat up. The heat will go down faster, but grilling outside is great.
Now, Joan, you don't eat meat, right? So what are you going to do?
That's correct.
There's other things to grill.
I do a lot of that's why I'm calling.
Okay.
Do a lot of vegetables, but Rick, I bet you could
And mushrooms grill great, and fruit grills beautifully, hearty fruit like pineapple grills great. You know, even grilling like stuffed breads and stuff. You just have to be able to use your heat zones properly and not just burn them. But sure, you can grill anything.
Joan.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
I got it.
All right. Fair
enough. Yeah, no, I just needed more ideas, you know.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, my friend. And thank you for being at the fun drive. Always great seeing you. And, hey, the next one's coming up in, 4 months? So we'll see you then.
Yeah, and sooner with the lockbox.
Thanks, Joan. We'll see you. 800-348-2551. You know, during the fun drive, Rick, we had one day where it wasn't bitter cold. It was Tuesday of the drive, and I grilled. I went outside, put some steaks. I went up on the roof and grilled. I went home after the fun drive shift, and I did steaks with, like, Brazilian seasoning, and we did burgers and brats and stuff. It was a big hit.
It's nice outside.
Yeah,
and it's warmer on the grill.
It's tough with the charcoal, though. You really have to keep it closed, on it. Worked out well. And meat thermometers, your friend.
Yes, it is. Those probe thermometers are your friend.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Chef Rick Orlando is our guest here on this pre-Valentine's Day edition of Food Friday. It's Abigail in Kingston. Hello, Abigail in Kingston.
Hello, you guys.
Hi, Abigail.
Rick. Listen, it was so much fun working with you on Thanksgiving for the dinner at Woodstock.
Yeah, that was great.
I would love, if I could still be employed, I'd love having a job in a restaurant. Anyway, I just wanted to compliment you on the work you do. And
thank you.
You're a very special person.
And what are you doing for Valentine's Day, Abigail?
I don't have a boyfriend this year. And I've never had a Valentine dinner, actually.
Oh.
I have never.
I honestly, Abigail, I don't remember having one either. I mean, maybe when we were at a casino one time.
None of the men in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, go.
No, you go ahead.
Anyway, thanks again.
Thanks, you, Abigail.
I go ahead. No,
we're doing something in May. We'll be doing another little dinner in May, lunch. At the community center.
Terrific.
So keep in touch.
So Abigail, were you a server there? What did you do, Abigail?
I caused trouble as usual.
Well, we know that. What did
she was in the kitchen. She was everywhere.
That is so cool. Hey, Abigail. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks.
See ya. 800-348-2551. It's Rick Orlando today.
So that's one of the things the food pantry does is we work with Family of Woodstock, Christmas, New Year, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and then we do a couple a year, we do community meals.
Yeah.
Pay what you can. So we raise some money, but the people who can't pay don't pay.
Right.
And I coordinate them, and then we get volunteers from the community to come in the kitchen with me, and it's fun.
Well, working with Abigail must be hilarious, because she is something. Ted in New Paltz writes in to voxpop@wamc.org, I hope Rick Orlando can enlighten me on the growing trend of global fusion spreading into menus more and more. It seems to be that delicious traditional dishes are now zazzed up with Cajun, Creole, Asian spices, etc., or the fancy presentation is more important than flavor. My wife loves beet salad, but at a former 10 restaurant recently, she could not find the beets. They were pressed into something like feathers and stacked up in sauce with greens around the plate. I appreciate your thoughts, and that's from Tet.
That's two questions there. The globalization of food really started hard when the internet emerged in the late 90s, because suddenly everyone was able to be exposed to everything.
Yeah.
And the global cookbooks came out. I mean, I was cooking global food in the late 80s because I lived in Queens and in Cambridge, and I was exposed to all these different meals. So global fusion is not really new, but I get what he says about the beet salad and chefs that do too much to food.
Yeah.
I like pure ingredients. I like to taste the ingredients. I like the texture of ingredients. And my wife has a little line. She calls certain dishes in name only, because it'll say like a beet salad, and it'll be like tiny little, like smaller than dice squares of beets, maybe five of them, and a bunch of other stuff. So yeah, I always encourage cooks to be forward, be aggressive. If you're doing beets, give them a good pinky thick slice of beet. The texture is so good. The mouth feels so good. Yes, you can do things. You can press a beat. But like when I first started playing guitar, and I was playing really, really, really fast all over the neck.
Sure.
And I think I told you the story. I met Rick Derringer, and he saw me play, and he said, "You're going to learn something as you get older. It's not what you could play. It's what you should play." So
Rick Derringer
I use that
was
with
a great player.
And I use that with food, too. Yeah. Yes, you could make, you know, powder out of leeks. But, man, braising a leek and a little olive oil and white wine is one of the greatest things in the world.
So on one level, you agree with Tet about getting too foofy with some of these dishes.
I think processing food too much.
Yeah.
Yes. Taking – there are something called – chefs are obsessed with this thing called technique. Look what I can do.
Yeah.
But is it better? You know, we went to a place on one of my Sicily tours, the first tour – Judge Karen Peters, Supreme Court judge from New York, was on tour. She's a good friend of ours. And she said, "I want to go to a Michelin star place." So I think there was a dozen of us, about six of us. We all said, we got a car. We went to a Michelin star restaurant. And this guy was sweet. He said, "This menu is dedicated to my mother." And every single dish was a recognizable Italian dish, except you didn't recognize it. For instance, the caprese salad was like tomato gelée, basil foam, and mozzarella powder. And we all said the same thing. It's cool, it's fun, but it's not better than a really ripe tomato with the perfect piece of bufala mozzarella and some great olive oil.
Yeah.
So sometimes by trying to transform ingredients, you don't make them better. You just show off what you can
do. So you get too tricky.
Yeah, you get this like music. It's like jazz fusion in the late 70s.
You know what? All chefs out there, remember Rick Derringer. 800-348-2551 is the number. Chef Rick Orlando is here. Always fun. This email from Christopher. Get this one. "The last time I listened to Food Friday was a good 5 years ago." Well, that's already a problem, Christopher. And Rick Orlando was the guest.
Huh.
We talked about ghee. "I just flipped it on and Rick Orlando's on. Is there a glitch in the matrix here? What the heck is going on?" Anyway, back to my question. Is ghee really all that? Why can't I just use butter when broiling a filet in my pan? I've been told ghee has a higher flavor profile. Peace. And that's from Christopher.
Wow, we got a lot of Andy Rooney's out there today.
Heck yeah.
So the difference between ghee and regular butter is that ghee is 100% butter fat and the milk solids have been removed so they don't burn. Now, you can make brown butter with whole butter, but at a certain point, that brown butter becomes black butter, and then it becomes burned butter. But if you take the butter solids out and just left with butter fat, it cooks like butter, like lard. It cooks like, it's just fat, and you can hold it at high heat and cook with it and have great butter flavor. That's the difference, in my opinion. Not
right.
Necessarily, oh, it's got a great flavor. It tastes like butter, but it's not going to burn up on you because the sugars in the milk are not going to burn.
All right, here's the thing. When, you know, Chris, next time in 5 years when you're listening again, Rick will be on and you'll have forgotten. You can ask the same question.
Will we still be here?
That's a really, really good question. The number is 800-348-2551. Chef Rick Orlando is here and we'll be back. Ah, yes, Hernando's Hideaway here on Vox Pop. Billy May and the orchestra, 800-348.
Hernando's Hideaway.
Great one. Okay, 800-348-2551. Suddenly it's Lawrence Welk. But, you know, Chef Rick Orlando is our guest. I got to say, man, this thing with the bananas in it is great.
Ain't got no bananas.
You're kidding me. Well, all right, tell us what it is again.
So that is an avocado mousse.
Okay.
So I got this recipe years ago from a book called The Secrets of the T-S-I-L, The Secrets of the Sill Cafe. It's a novel about a chef and his wife, who's another chef, and the son growing up, kind of like a Catcher in the Rye from the kids' experience.
Oh, my gosh. It's your dark,
it's
dark
fun, book. It's a fun, yeah, it's a fun little story. But the one of the recipes in there is for an avocado mousse. And all this is an avocado and half a champagne mango, a little maple syrup, and a little spoonful of, I think I use sour cream, in the food processor until it's frothy and whipped, and then you refrigerate it, and because of the fat in the avocado, it sets.
Yeah.
And then I just took blueberries, a little simple syrup, and cardamom, and poured them over the top.
That is such a unique taste, and so I have to write this down after the show.
I'll put the recipe up. If you guys remind me, I didn't put the recipe up today because I was busy at the vet's with my two cats and my dog.
What happened?
Oh, it was vet day. Excuse me. But not Veterans Day, vet day. But I promise I'll have it up by tonight.
Okay. Hey, how many times have you been on this show? A lot, right?
Since
back in the day.
Way back in the day.
Do you know we got a cough button there? You just hit mute. You hold it here. Check it out.
I know.
Give it a shot.
I have my glasses.
Hold it. Hold
off.
It down, and then clear your throat.
Like that?
No, that's not how you do it. You know what? You're not helpful. 800-348.
I know you have a cough button.
2551. Rick Orlando's our guest. Let's go back to the phones, and we go to Rhonda, who is in Nassau. Rhonda, you're on.
Hi, Rhonda.
Hey, Ray. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Good.
Good. So one thing is I wanted to tell you and then ask you further. It was Max's birthday last month, and he hates very sweet foods.
Mm-hmm.
So he hates birthday cake. It's frosting. It's never liked that kind of stuff. So I actually took a risk, and I did my first ever baking from scratch. I baked him an olive oil cake with orange zest.
Yes.
And
classic Sicilian dessert.
Yeah, and it was I did so I could like get all of the stages because I had the American Test Kitchen and they showed you everything to do, right?
Yeah.
He loved it. It was the best cake he'd ever had in all of his years. And then I made it again for him, but I also made another one for my synagogue with gluten-free flour.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tried to froth the eggs more. And it did, the gluten-free one was really good also, but it made a little thing in the middle that had kind of the consistency of like marzipan, you know, it was like,
yeah.
Not like
or pudding.
You know what I'm saying? Like a little more compressed and yeah. But it was really good. So my question for you is, what should I try next to bake for him that isn't gooey sweet?
Oh my. I think that one of the things you can do, which is pretty simple, is start with a tart shell, where you cut the sugar back on the tart shell. Because a tart, like we used to make pretzel tarts, for instance, where we would make a tart dough with flour, but half of the flour was salted pretzels pureed in the food processor. So we had almost like a savory crust. And then you could put whatever in there. But, you know, maybe if you, here's a real simple one. Savory-ish tart shell and a chocolate ganache, but with like 85% bitter sweet chocolate.
Yeah.
Maybe a little chili lime salt on top, and you've got a delicious chocolate tart that is only 15% sugar, lower sugar, and that savory shell on the bottom. You could even put a little cocoa powder in it to give it a little more of a bitterness, but that's a good way to go, and it's super easy to make. Tart shells are pretty easy.
Rhonda.
How's that? You there? Did you faint?
Yeah, I'm there.
All right, you know, message me. I'll send you some tips on it.
All right, Rhonda, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. While you were chatting amiably with Rhonda, I tried this other thing. What is that thing?
So this is a real basic Greek taverna dessert. It is just good quality Greek yogurt that I flavored with honey and cinnamon, just enough. And then on top of that is the Luxardo maraschino, real maraschino, yeah. Not the red ones, in syrup with the syrup.
That is so good. So
it's very common in the Greek taverns where you'll get cinnamon and honey sweetened yogurt with macerated fruit. And yet, it's a dessert. It's satisfying. I mean, if you want to dip a vanilla wafer in it, if you need that, go ahead.
I don't think you need it.
But it's so savory and sweet at the same time. And satisfying, and again, makes you feel like dancing.
Speak for yourself. John Fisher, who's going to be on next
John,
week.
John, how are
you? We're going to do a show on your favorite cocktails. People will call in with their favorite cocktails.
Okay.
And then John, who's a genius mixologist,
yes.
will offer tips on how to make them better. John writes in, Rick, just one word, tweezers, and go. What does that mean?
Eyebrows.
Huh?
One word back, eyebrows.
All right, so okay.
No, okay, so the point of what he's asking about, there's been a movement generationally in all things, not just kitchens, to discard what your parents did and reinvent something. So instead of using tongs in the kitchen, which had been used for 1,000 years, people began using tweezers. And that's
what?
How you have those little delicate dishes with the little purple flower. There are places where tweezers are appropriate.
Yeah.
I have a set. If I'm making a pretty dish and I want to put just like two or three little peppercorns on it. But for most times, I can do anything with a set of tongs. I feel like one of those robots, like I know how to use tongs and do anything. So it's up to you. If you like tweezers, great. Most importantly, efficiency, accuracy, whatever works for you. But I get it.
I think John Fisher's just trying to rile you up here. The number is 800.
Well, tweezers are a thing. There are people that come to work that have never cooked in their life, but they have six different sets of stainless steel tweezers at different sizes. And I'm like, well, let's first learn how to make a loaf of bread. Then we learn how to make a pot of rice.
Yeah.
Then you learn how to roast a chicken. Then you learn how to make stock. From there, and you're not going to use a tweezer with any of those.
No,
so,
not on the bone broth, for sure. 800-348-2551, that's the number. Rick Orlando's our guest today.
You just did it. You
what?
Called stock bone broth.
Bone broth.
You slipped into it.
Michael in Washington, Massachusetts, you're on.
Hi, Michael.
Okay.
Hey there.
I hear you.
Listen, I mean, I love food. My three kids are all foodies, so...
Can you get a little closer to the phone?
I think he's on speakerphone.
I hope this. I'll go off speaker. Hang on.
That would be good. Zach, the engineer, would be very
better.
Yes, much better. Go ahead.
I'm still here talking.
Yes. Yes, you are.
We're good?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I got kind of a downer of an observation, which is that high-end restaurants tend to cater to very wealthy people. And as such, they're irrelevant to, you know, the 90% or whatever percent of us who can't drop, you know, a couple $100 for a meal. And I used to work in IT, and at some point I realized I was just helping rich people get richer. And I just wonder, being in the restaurant business, do you ever feel like you're serving rich people and that's the end of the story?
Okay, Michael, thank you for that one.
There's a great line in the movie To Have and Have Not when the Gestapo goes into the French guy's restaurant, Humphrey Bogey's in there, and the Gestapo says, "There's a rumor you're serving suspicious characters here." And the French restaurateur says, "I run a public place. How am I to know who is suspicious and who is not?"
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a free country. I can't afford, I could afford, but I'd rather not spend the money in certain restaurants.
Yeah.
And other ones I will. Some people go for the experience. Some people go because it's like buying a $2,000 Gucci pocketbook. They go to say they went.
Yeah.
Other people go because they love the chef and the experience. So it's highly personal and,
yeah.
you know, go where you want and enjoy yourself.
Michael, thanks for the call. I mean, on one hand, you say, you know, the rich people can afford to do that, and they can also afford to drive a Bentley, and I can't do that, and it is what it is.
I like my Chevy.
It's gotten more
costly to go out to eat, for
yeah.
sure, because of everything across the board. Food prices, labor prices, everything's more expensive.
Yeah.
But you get what you pay for. When you find a place that does it right and it makes you happy, we talked about that at the beginning, you'll go back, you know? So you have to, the nice thing about today is you can go online, you can look at menus, you can look at prices, and you can shop before you go out. So it's up to you. Whatever fits. I know that a lot of fine dining is not as classical as it was, and people are trying a lot of stuff. And some of it's hit or miss, where in the old days you knew you were going to get a Chateaubriand. That was what you were going to get, right?
Yeah.
Now people are reinventing stuff. So it is hit or miss, but the restaurant industry always evolves. It's going through an evolution now. And I think, well, you see how popular, you know, fried chicken joints are in places like that, because
sure.
It's kind of a backlash.
Yeah.
And I've always been kind of walking that line between the backlash, serving fun food with really great ingredients. The difference to me is a lot of less expensive food uses really lower quality ingredients. That's how they keep their prices down. And what's the point of eating that? I mean, yeah, it's good once in a while, but you can't eat that all the time. It'll catch up to you.
The number here is 800-348-2551. And in fairness, I mean, there are some billionaires who love Big Macs. I mean, yeah. It's just taste is a thing.
Apparently.
Yeah. So let's go back to the phones. Tom is on the Northway. Tom, you're on.
Hey, Tom.
Hello there.
Still driving?
Yes, I am. I'm on a long trip.
All right.
Going to go see my boyfriend.
All right. Go ahead. You're on.
We love cooking. We love having our Valentine's in because we cook for each other.
Okay.
Nice.
So we're doing butter basted steaks.
What is that?
Butter basted steaks.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was curious what your favorite way of preparing a steak in a pan is. And do you dry the steak out the day before? Do you pat it with salt? Do you do anything to prepare it to get a better sear?
It all depends on the cut of steak. Okay. I love butter basting a steak in a cast iron skillet. And I love it most on a New York strip steak. It really takes it. But what I'll do is I'll put the steak out on a plate. Yeah, I put it out on a plate and I take kosher salt, no pepper.
Yeah.
And I rub the whole thing with kosher salt. I mean, I don't just sprinkle it. I rub it, not crust it, but rub it and let it sit for about an hour. You know, the salt will be invisible at that point.
Yeah.
Pat it with paper towels. The first thing I do is I heat up the pan, not scorching hot, but pretty hot, and I put the steak down on the fat cap and let the fat render down into the pan. Then I'll add a drop of oil, maybe avocado oil, and put the steak down on one side and then add a big old knob of butter and let it cook and sizzle in that butter, a couple of whole garlic cloves, maybe some sprigs of thyme. But I check, and once every time I look, the whole part of the steak that's touching the pan needs to be really brown, really crusted. Then I turn it over and I tilt the pan a little and start spooning the melted butter over the steak.
Okay.
So it bastes and gets good. That's great for a strip steak. There are certain steaks that, like a skirt steak, I prefer on a grill, like a wood grill or a gas grill or a charcoal grill. There are some steaks, honestly, I think ribeye is the most overrated steak.
Interesting. Why?
Well, there are five or six good ribeyes in a ribeye, but then the fat line starts to change and the eye can be tougher. It's not as marbly.
All right.
I like a pecan. I like a sirloin cap. I like a culotte. My favorites. Those are my favorites.
Okay.
But a ribeye, I like to broil a ribeye. I'll salt the ribeye the same way, and I'll crank my broiler and put it right up on the flame so it's cooking from the top down, like the famous Peter Lugers do.
Right.
And you get that nice brown, and then the fat, as you're broiling it, the fat is dripping down into the steak and self-basting it. So
you got to be careful with that if you're doing it at home, though. You burn the house down, right?
That's what fire extinguishers are for.
I see. Tom, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. This email from Nick. When I saw Rick over the summer in the parking lot of our local corporate grocery, I had to tell him about my newly discovered snack. Bread of choice, nut butter, goat cheese, basil, and a smear of hoisin sauce. Surprise, it's delicious. Did you try that one?
I haven't tried that one.
Would
I try it? Sure. You know, it sounds like Thai peanut sauce with a little goat cheese. It could work. Who knows?
I bet it'd be okay.
Pylon. We call that a pylon.
Now,
pylon bread.
Nick's new one is bread toasted in a pan with grapeseed oil, then putting everything bagel sesame spice in the pan after turning it off with Worcestershire ponzu mixed in cream cheese on the side.
Why is it on the side? Why don't you smear it with the cream cheese?
I don't know.
Anyway, so I'm getting this kind of creamy bread thing. grew up eating bagels, maybe, you know, that experience of having a creamy smear.
Yeah. You all right there, buddy boy? The number here is 800.
Smear is the word.
2551.
Like a nice smear, yeah.
Yeah, you know, okay, so you made it through the show. You're a trooper. What
we're
do you
done?
Do? No, we're almost done. We'll go to the phones in a moment. What do you do when you're not regular full time in the kitchen anymore? But when you're not feeling well, you know,
you call in sick or you take the day off,
yeah,
or you wear a mask. You know, yeah. I mean, I've had experiences back in the day where I couldn't have the day off and I would just wear a mask,
yeah,
and wash my hands.
That's gotta,
you know,
be tough. It's got to be tough.
You know, it's like any other job except that it's hot.
All right, let's go to quickly to Christopher in Glens Falls. Christopher, you're on with Rick Orlando.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to comment on sometimes restaurants don't look like they're good, but they're really good.
Uh-huh.
Years ago, I had a father-in-law. He was a corporate lawyer in San Francisco. He lived on top of Russian Hill. And he took us to places like Stars and Green's Restaurant, where I met Ed Brown. And we decided to go out for an Asian night. He took us into Chinatown. We're walking up Grant Street, and I look up at this restaurant up on the roof of a building. It says Empress of China, and it looks like peachy pink and all that. And I said, that place looks cool. He goes, nah. He says, their food ain't that great. He took us around the corner to a side street, and there was this place, and all it said was Sun Yat. And it had a dashiel-style lamp over a stairway that led down into the cellar.
Uh-huh. I know this place. I know this place. I know this place.
Yeah.
The one downstairs.
We went down in there. Yep.
Yes.
And it was mostly Chinese, you know, that was being spoken in the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never had Asian food like that before.
No, it's killing.
And I've been to New York, and, you know.
Have you been to Flushing? To Flushing? Okay. Flushing, the best Chinese food on the East Coast is in Flushing.
No kidding.
You get off the 7 train, or you park down by... what's it called? The
City Field. Almost said Shea Stadium.
You're in China. Everything is out of control there.
Right.
You can get any part. There's people hacking Peking ducks in windows. I mean, it's out of control. Out of control.
Christopher, we're just about out of time. You know, that Chinese restaurant where you go down the stairs has come up on this program before. I don't know if it was you or somebody else,
but it
must be famous.
It got to be in the know.
Yeah.
I have a friend who actually, Muber, M-U-B-E-R, eats on Instagram. You should check him out.
Yeah.
Julian. He takes me, because he's Chinese, into Flushing. And we find these places that are just like, you have no idea what you're eating. You don't care. You just, he says, some of this. And you just eat and you're like, it's like going on a space trip. You
ever go to a Mets game after that?
Before. Yeah, I did this summer, actually.
Okay, good. Good for you.
Of course.
Well, we're out of time. How do people find out how Rick Orlando's doing his thing?
RIC Orlando, rickorlando.com, on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, Chef Rick Orlando or Rick Orlando. I'm out there. I've got tours for Sicily with some open dates. I've got some cool cooking classes. I'm doing a Cuban street food class at Capital Cooks coming up in a couple of weeks.
Neato.
I've got fun stuff.
Well, listen, man, always great to have you on the show, and thank you for not burning the studio down. It's very, very kind. Support comes from Clock Estate, Hudson, New York, an earth-to-glass brandy distillery and destination that features tours, tastings, fine dining, and a hilltop view of the Northeast Catskill Range, clock-estate.com. Albany Academy in Albany, New York, founded in 1813, Albany Academy offers pre-K through postgraduate independent school learning, now fully co-educational, albanyacademy.org. And Waymo, fully autonomous driving technology designed to prioritize safety by recognizing pedestrians, cyclists, scooter riders, and others on the road. More at waymo.com. Oh, the driverless cars are coming, man. This is going to be, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a nap and just drive to work. We'll see you on Tuesday. Thanks to Zach and Barb King and you, and have a groovy weekend.